Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, January 5th, 2024, Section A, State and Local News. City reaches settlement with Pilot Gathering Delaware, LLC, by Ben Schaefer. The City of Midland entered into a settlement with Pilot Gathering Delaware, LLC, on Tuesday after a well field dispute that began in 2020. In a statement released by the City of Midland, it stated that the settlement was cooperative and will allow Pilot to maintain four current saltwater disposal wells in the deeper water zones of the groundwater ranch, which is significantly reduced from the initially permitted 18 saltwater disposal wells in the aquifer area of T-Bar Ranch in Winkler County, according to the press release. As soon as we were notified of the permits and wells Pilot was pursuing on our T-Bar Ranch, we mobilized to request standing with the Railroad Commission and were ultimately granted that standing, Midland Mayor Lori Blong stated. The Pilot settlement agreement represents months of effort and negotiation among officials and experts to arrive at the best possible solution to protect our municipal water source and to allow the safe, prudent oil field operations which drive our economy. With the monitoring systems and groundwater test wells in place, along with moving all future Pilot development out of our water fairway, we believe this settlement is a benefit to the community of Midland today and into the future. According to the press release, the settlement allows Pilot to establish up to 8 saltwater disposal wells on the west side of T-Bar Ranch, where groundwater resources are not present, which mitigates any potential impact on Midland's water sources. In addition, this agreement mandates rigorous environmental safeguards, the press release states. This includes the monitoring of saltwater disposal wells and the use of groundwater wells for testing purposes. According to the City of Midland, these measures ensure ongoing vigilance and protection of groundwater resources. According to a Midland Reporter Telegram story from March 2023, the City of Midland challenged Pilot over their plans to drill saltwater injection wells adjacent to the city's T-Bar Ranch well field in Winkler County. In the summer of 2022, Pilot applied to drill 18 disposal wells in Section 15 and 16 of Winkler County. The City of Midland owns the groundwater estate in and under the entirety of the two sections, and both the surface and groundwater rights in approximately 20,229 acres adjacent to the two sections, the Midland Reporter Telegram story states. Midland officials in July granted an easement for Pilot to construct a pipeline that would bring produced water from New Mexico to the disposal wells, according to the Midland Telegram story from March. Midland officials learned in December 2022 that Pilot had designated 5 of the wells as commercial and protested, saying they did not receive notice as an affected party, given the T-Bar Ranch supplies 30-35% of the city's water supply. Pilot responded by saying the designation as commercial was an error, so the notification requirement did not apply. Midland again protested, saying Pilot's project would inject saltwater and RCRA-exempt, Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, waste through the field, which would possibly endanger a major source of the city's water supply. According to the Reporter Telegram report, Pilot responded by saying it would complete the wells with 3 strings of casing and the distance from the current water supply aquifer would protect groundwater. The City of Midland then filed a motion to consolidate the docket for amending the 5 wells into 1, which Pilot protested. On March 7th, a pre-conference hearing on the motion by Pilot to dismiss the consolidation request was held. A Texas Tribune story from November states, in June 2023, the Railroad Commission agreed to give the City of Midland standing to challenge Pilot's permits, and the case was slated to go before a Railroad Commission administrative judge early this month. Apache acquiring Callon Petroleum. Deal closes at $4.5 billion, including $1.9 billion in net debt, by Mella McEwen. Permian Basin mergers and acquisitions in the final months of 2023 propelled the value to a record of approximately $150 billion. That trend continues into the new year with APA Corporation, parent of Apache Corporation, agreeing Thursday to buy Callon Petroleum for $4.5 billion in an all-stock transaction, including $1.9 billion of net debt. The deal is expected to close in the second quarter. This transaction is aligned with APA's overall portfolio strategy and fits all the criteria for our disciplined approach to evaluating external growth opportunities. Callon has built a strong portfolio in the Permian Basin that is complementary to our existing Permian assets and rounds out our opportunity set in the Delaware, said John J. Christman, the fourth APA's CEO and president, in a statement announcing the agreement. The acquisition is accretive and unlocks value for both shareholder bases, as increased scale will enable us to realize significant overhead and cost of capital synergies. The pro forma footprint in the Permian will also create opportunities to capture meaningful operating synergies. Andrew Dittmar, Senior Vice President of Enverus Intelligence Research, told the Reporter Telegram by email that a dwindling number of potential acquisition targets is likely to eventually slow a scorching hot Permian M&A market, but that isn't in the cards yet. With fewer remaining private targets in the Permian, public company consolidation is going to take a more central role for companies looking to boost their exposure in the key oil region, he wrote. However, these deals can be significantly harder to put together, as it is challenging on the public side to find management teams interested in selling. In addition, there are a limited number of public companies that will have inventory and attractive valuations to interest large-cap buyers. Other potential targets include Permian Resources, Matador, and SM for high-quality inventory, and Vital, Civitas, and Interplus that have, on average, lower-quality drilling locations but are attractively valued. With Callon both a willing seller and having a solid bench of inventory, it is no surprise that APA jumped on the opportunity to buy the company and increase its exposure to high-quality U.S. assets, Dittmar continued. The valuation looks attractive, with Callon being acquired around the value of its existing production without paying a meaningful amount for the undeveloped acreage, he wrote. That contrasts with having to pay a significant premium for underdeveloped inventory like we saw with the Exxon Pioneer deal or Occidental buying Crown Rock, albeit for higher quality drilling locations in those deals than what Callon brings to the table. We view Callon as overall having about 10 years of drilling inventory, with a little more than half of that falling into our high quality bucket or breaking even at $50 a barrel of West Texas Intermediate or less, Dittmar wrote. Overall, he concluded, we like the deal more for APA as it increases its Permian exposure and it is accretive on cash flow. Callon is getting essentially the standard deal public companies have taken in M&A with a premium of about 15% and all-stock consideration from the buyer. Callon's assets provide additional scale to APA's operations across the Permian Basin, most notably in the Delaware Basin, where Callon has nearly 120,000 acres. On a pro forma basis, total company production exceeds 500,000 BOE per day, and enterprise value increases to more than $21 billion. Key highlights: combination of Callon's Delaware-focused footprint with APA's Midland-focused footprint provides scale and balance in the Permian Basin. APA's oil-prone acreage in the Midland and Delaware Basin combined will increase by more than 50% following the transaction. Expected to be accretive on key financial and value metrics. Estimated overhead, operational, and cost per capital synergies to exceed $150 million annually, and additional scale anticipated to improve credit profile. Pro forma balance sheet will remain strong with leverage at 1.1 times net debt adjusted EBITDAX. Weekend forecast for Midland Odessa by Robin Bradshaw. After cold rain and dense fog kick off the New Year start, the first weekend of 2024 looks promising for clearer skies. Light rain was expected Thursday afternoon and evening from the I-10 corridor north, with cooler temperatures across the Permian Basin, according to the National Weather Service, while further west, a high wind warning is in effect for the Guadalupe and Delaware Mountains late Thursday morning through Thursday evening. West winds of 20 to 50 miles per hour could gust up to 70 miles per hour, the report said. Keeping two hands on the steering wheel as driving may be difficult. While making weekend plans, West Texas can expect cool, sunny, and windy weather throughout the weekend, said Anthony France, Hearst Newsroom meteorologist. You'll need a jacket on Saturday, as highs only make it into the low 50s, and winds will blow in at 20 miles per hour by the afternoon, Franz added. Temperatures will rise a few degrees on Sunday, but winds will also be stronger. Some gusts will reach 35 to 40 miles per hour by Sunday afternoon and evening. The start of the work week on Monday morning. Temperatures are forecasted to reach the low 50s with mostly sunny skies and increased winds, National Weather Service reported. Gas prices vary across state, region, by Ben Schaefer. Gas prices in West Texas fluctuated this week as Midland remains home to the second most expensive gas in the state, according to AAA. AAA reported that gas prices around the state have experienced fluctuations since just before Christmas and show indications of an upward trajectory in the future. Recent holiday travel, according to AAA, exerted additional pressure on fuel demand. In addition, crude oil is experiencing a price hike. West Texas Intermediate crude has seen a nearly 2% increase in the past week alone. If this upward trend continues, it could mean higher prices at the pump, according to AAA. Following the holiday season, gas prices have exhibited a degree of volatility, and there's a possibility of a further ascent in the near future should crude oil prices persist in their upward trend, stated Daniel Armbruster, spokesperson for AAA Texas. Currently, the average cost of regular unleaded gas in Texas stands approximately 23 cents below the prices recorded a year ago. Regionally, gas prices in Abilene dropped a penny to $2.68. Fuel prices in Amarillo dropped 7 cents to $2.47, the least expensive gas in Texas. The only West Texas cities to experience an increase in gas prices are El Paso and San Angelo, who experienced a 12 and 1 cent increase, respectively. Gas prices in Lubbock dropped by 3 cents. The gap between Midland and Odessa's average gas price closed significantly this week. The average gas price in Midland dropped 6 cents this week to $2.85. Gas prices in Odessa dropped 3 cents to $2.83. Midland is home to the second highest gas prices in the state, and Odessa is third, according to AAA. At this time last year, Midland's average gas price was $3. Odessa's average fuel price a year ago was $3.13. The average gas price in the state is the second cheapest in the nation. Oklahoma has a $2.65 fuel average, which is the only state better than Texas's $2.66 average. Father, son, face charges in couple shooting deaths. Police say teen accused of capital murder killed both over drug deal. By Jacob Beltran, Gabriela Ybarra, and Raul Trey Lopez. Pregnant teen Savannah Soto and her boyfriend Matthew Guerra were killed in a drug deal gone awry, according to police. Father and son were arrested in connection with the fatal shootings late Wednesday. Christopher Preciado, 19, was charged with capital murder. Christopher and his father, Ramon Preciado, 53, were charged with abuse of a corpse and concealing human remains. Christopher did the killings, Sergeant Washington Moscoso said. His father helped him try to hide the car and victims. Soto, 18, and Guerra, 22, went missing Christmas weekend. The couple was found days later shot to death in Guerra's car, prompting a hunt for their killer. After the bodies were found, Guerra's family told police he was involved in selling drugs and often posted pictures on social media of drugs and cash. They told police people wanted to rob the boyfriend, and it was stated that he had been shot at before, states an affidavit supporting the arrests. Christopher Preciado told police that Soto and Guerra drove to his home to sell him marijuana. He said Guerra pointed a weapon at him and that he shot Soto first and then Guerra while wrestling for the gun, the affidavit states. However, the affidavit states his story was inconsistent with Guerra's and Soto's gunshot wounds and the evidence collected at the crime scene. The Preciados are believed to be the men seen in an undated video released last week by police. The footage shows Guerra's vehicle and a black truck. A man resembling Ramon Preciado can be seen getting out of the truck and talking to someone in Guerra's vehicle. He then took a white towel and wiped the car door before they both drove off. Always fake news. Y'all guys are always one-sided. You don't even know what's going on, Ramon Preciado said as he walked to a police vehicle after his arrest. His son kept quiet. Police believe that Soto and Guerra were already dead inside the vehicle at the time the video was taken. Moscoso said they were killed December 21st, just before midnight. Moscoso said that among the evidence recovered from the car was Soto's cell phone, and that police were able to use the phone to locate the suspect's vehicle. After they found the truck, they set up surveillance to determine where the suspects lived. Once they did that, they knocked on the door. He said the father answered and knew why police were there. The suspects were cooperative. Soto and Guerra were killed elsewhere before the car was abandoned with the bodies at an apartment complex in the South Texas Medical Center area, about 3 miles from where the couple was last seen. The apartments are a few blocks away from the Preciado home. Moscoso said misinformation has been blowing up online, but that the Preciados are the only suspects police were looking for. Many names thrown out there. They didn't have anything to do with these murders, he said. Soto's and Guerra's families immediately went to social media to express relief. They caught the MFs that killed our babies. Justice for Savannah, baby Fabian, Matthew, posted Soto's mother, Gloria Cordova. And Raquel Guerra, Guerra's stepmother, posted, our prayers have been answered. She tagged the post with hashtag justice for Savannah Matthew Fabian. Yes, thank you, Jesus, texted Mariana Delgado, Soto's sister-in-law. The disappearance. Soto grew up on the west side. She met Guerra through mutual acquaintances when she was 16 and a sophomore at Holmes High School. She dropped out of school soon after. At the time of her death, Soto was working in an elder care home. She was due to give birth to a baby boy the weekend before Christmas, and she had already given him a name, Fabian. It would be her first child, and she had celebrated with friends and family members at a baby shower. Photos from the event show Soto and Guerra in a room filled with white, green, and gold balloons in front of a poster that declared, "It's a boy." Soto was scheduled to be admitted to Stone Oak Methodist Hospital at 6:30 a.m. December 23rd to have labor induced. She never showed up, and calls to her cell phone went unanswered. That evening, her mother posted a message to Facebook pleading for help finding her daughter. "If you see her, please reach out to me and let me know where you've seen her. I'm worried about her safety. Prayer for my baby girl." Cordova wrote, "Soto's relatives spent that weekend searching the Leon Valley apartment complex where Soto and Guerra live and putting up missing person posters. On Christmas Day, the Texas Department of Public Safety issued a coordinated law enforcement adult rescue alert for Soto, describing her as an individual in imminent danger. An accompanying photo showed Soto standing beside a baby stroller. The alert said she was last seen around 2 p.m. December 22nd outside her apartment in the 6,000 block of Grissom Road. She was reported to be in a gray 2013 Kia Optima. Her family says the last time they spoke with her was through text the night before. A heinous act. On December 26, the Optima was found in the parking lot of an apartment complex on the northwest side about 3 miles from where Soto was last seen. Inside the car were two bodies. The Bexar County Medical Examiner's Office identified them as Soto and Guerra. Soto was in the front passenger seat, and Guerra appeared to have been dragged into the back seat. Both had been killed by gunshot wounds to the head," the medical examiner said. In Guerra's case, it was a contact gunshot wound, indicating that the muzzle of the gun was held directly against his head. Police Chief William McManus said investigators believed that Soto and Guerra were killed elsewhere, and that the car was brought to the Colinas at Medical Apartments in the 5900 block of Danny K. Drive. He said the bodies had been there 3 or 4 days. Police described the case as a capital murder investigation with three victims, Guerra, Soto, and her unborn child. Under the Texas Penal Code, capital murder is a murder that involves any of a number of aggravating factors, including the killing of more than one person or a child younger than 10. "Clearly, it was a heinous act. It was unspeakable," McManus said. Persons of interest. On December 28th, the San Antonio Police Department released a security video showing two persons of interest in the case and appealed for the public's help in identifying them. The video shows two vehicles pulling up side by side in the parking lot of the Colinas at Medical Apartments. One of the vehicles is a dark Chevrolet Silverado with a bed cover. The other is the 2013 Optima that belonged to Guerra and Soto. In the undated video, a burly man in a sleeveless white t-shirt is seen getting out of the pickup and handing something to the driver of the Optima. The two men speak briefly before driving off in different directions. Condemning speculation. While both families grieved, members of Guerra's family took to social media to condemn what they described as speculation that they were implicated in the couple's disappearance and death. The speculation appeared to stem in part from Guerra's criminal record and history of domestic abuse. He pleaded guilty to a charge of domestic violence causing bodily injury in connection with an assault on Soto on Christmas Day 2022. He was sentenced to a year's probation. Soto's aunts said she was so badly injured that she had to be hospitalized. "Everyone's portraying us like we had something to do with my brother and my sister-in-law missing. And first of all, we do not. We have nothing to do with this. We promise y'all. I do not like how the internet is making us look like criminals," Guerra's older brother said on Facebook. Guerra's father, Gabriel Guerra, said he understood from investigators that his son and Soto were both shot behind the ear, execution style. he did hang out with some of not the best crowd, the elder Guerrero said of his son. He's been in some trouble, but he said he did not know of anyone who would want to harm him. Mom, don't be late. Soto's family described her as an outgoing, bright, and selfless young woman who was excited to be a mother. Two aunts, Laura Cordova and Cindy Martinez, said Soto matured quickly through her pregnancy. After her delivery date approached, her bags were packed, a room was ready, and she looked forward to her newborn. The night she disappeared, she told Gloria Cordova, "Mom, don't be late for Saturday," Martinez said. Martinez said she worked with Soto at Brookdale, a senior living center. Martinez had stopped working to have her baby, but planned to return. She aspired to become a nurse, but she disappeared. Soto's mother helped her pack a bag for her scheduled hospital stay, and Soto had her nails done. "She has a lot of family that loved her," Martinez said of Soto. "She's going to be really missed." Guillermo Contreras contributed to this report. Car pedestrian crash at University and Grandview by B.K. Richter. Odessa police confirmed a car pedestrian crash occurred in the area of University and Grandview on January 2nd at 6:15 p.m. The investigation revealed a blue Ford F-250 was traveling north in the left turn lane on the 2600 block of North Grandview and struck a pedestrian who was standing in the roadway. The pedestrian was identified as 59-year-old Kevin Gandy, who was transported to Medical Center Hospital and then airlifted to Lubbock with life-threatening injuries. No other injuries were reported at the scene. The investigation is ongoing. Sandhills Rodeo kicks off this week. What to Expect by Morgan Taylor Thomas. While the rest of the Permian Basin sits quiet during the first week of the year, the Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo draws spectators and participants from all over the state for the annual event. Kicking off Thursday and running through January 13th, the 2024 Stock Show and Rodeo brings in over 600 showers and competitors to the West Texas region. Nationally ranked cowboys and cowgirls kick off their seasons right here while local crews observe their competitors. This year marks the 91st season of the Stock Show and 75th season for the Rodeo, both of which can be experienced any day during the two-week-long production. At the Stock Show, guests can expect to see the best of the best when it comes to heifers, cattle, goats, lambs, steer, and more. As for the rodeo, more than 70 truckloads of dirt cover the ground where the intense rounds of bull riding, barrel racing, horse bucking, mutton busting, and other night-specific events such as the equestrian ballet performance by 8 women dressed in classic Hispanic heritage clothing happening Thursday nights will take place. During all 6 rodeo performances, Sandhills is giving away $1,000 to one lucky winner. The only requirement is that you be in your seat with your ticket number during presentation time. Make sure to arrive early enough to see the grand entry, a pre-rodeo spectacle of fireworks, music, and, of course, the Rodeo Queens. 2024 royalty includes Miss Rodeo Sandhills Aspen Wash, Miss Rodeo Sandhills Teen Suzette Trujillo, and Miss Rodeo Sandhills Princess Paisley Hopper. The Stock Show and Rodeo takes place at the Ector County Coliseum at 4201 Andrews Highway in Odessa. The schedule, Friday, January 5th, 8 a.m. Goat Show, 8:30 a.m. White and Classify Steers Outback Arena, 11 a.m. Cattle Showmanship Contest Outback Arena, 1 p.m. Lambs Move-In, 1 p.m. Cattle Rookie Showmanship Clinic and Contest, 2 p.m. Team Sales Contest Outback Arena, 5 p.m. Lamb Arrival Deadline, 6 p.m. Lamb Weight Cards Turned In, 7:30 p.m. Second Rodeo Performance Coliseum. Saturday, January 6th, 7:30 a.m. Heifer Show Coliseum, 9:30 a.m. Steer Show, or immediately following Heifer Show, but not earlier than 9:30 a.m. Coliseum, 8 a.m. Lamb Show, Barn E, 11 a.m. Steer Roping, Ace Arena Andrews, 5:30 p.m. Buyer's Dinner, Building G, 6 p.m. Junior Livestock Sale, Building G, 7:30 p.m. Third Rodeo Performance Coliseum. Sunday, January 7th, Open Breakaway Roping, Coliseum, 10 a.m. Steer Roping, Ace Arena Andrews. Monday, January 8th, 8 a.m. Slack, Coliseum Setup for Super Tuesday Roping. Tuesday, January 9th, 10:30 a.m. Super Tuesday Roping, Coliseum, 6:30 p.m. Team and Match Roping, Coliseum. Wednesday, January 10th, 8 a.m. Slack, Coliseum. Thursday, January 11th, 6 p.m. Christian Youth Night, Barn G, 7:30 p.m. 4th Rodeo Performance, Coliseum. Friday, January 12th, 7:30 p.m. 5th Rodeo Performance, Coliseum. 8 p.m. Rodeo Dance, John Wolfe and Carson Jeffrey, Barn G. Saturday, January 13th, 7:30 p.m., 6th Rodeo Performance, Coliseum. Obituaries and Death Notices. Bobby Bankston. Bobby Bankston was born on March 7th, 1932, in Lubbock, Texas, to Reverend Larkin Lee Hall and Mary Lily Hall. She arrived in heaven on December 13th, 2023. She is survived by three children, daughter Claudia and sons Jim and Bill, sister Ann Newman of Blue Ridge, Georgia, and two grandchildren. She also had numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. A graveside interment for Bobby will be held a Saturday, January 6, 2024, at 3 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Bixby Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Douglas Allen Chestnut Sr. Douglas Allen Chestnut Sr. left this world on December 29, 2023, at the age of 74. He was born on June 2, 1949, in Comanche, Oklahoma. His memory will be cherished by his three sons, Anthony, Jason, and JT. He was also blessed with numerous grandchildren and great-grandchilren. He is preceded in death by his dad, Bill Chestnut, mother, Maxine Odekoven, wife, Dorothy Chestnut, son, Alan Chestnut, and grandson, Justin Chestnut. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, January 6, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel.
Mary to Preach by Odessa American, January 4, 2024. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray will be bringing the message at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. There will be a meet and greet at 10 a.m. in the Welcome Hall. Man arrested on solicitation charge by Odessa American, January 4, 2024. A 46-year-old man was arrested last week after authorities said he sent obscene pictures to an undercover DPS special agent, believing him to be a 14-year-old girl. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, the agent began messaging with an unknown man named Nate on December 4th on an anonymous app that helps people mask their true identity while making friends. During the course of the conversation, the agent said he was a 14-year-old girl, and Nate said it was his 46th birthday, and the conversation turned sexual, the report stated. At one point, Nate also sent the girl three pictures of his penis, the report stated. 3 days later, Nate sent a normal picture of himself, and agents were able to identify him as Nathan Bernier by comparing it to his driver's license and social media accounts, the report stated. During the conversation, the topic again turned to sex, and Bernier said he would find a hotel with a pool where they could meet, and he described the sexual activities he hoped to perform, the report stated. Bonnier was arrested on suspicion of online solicitation of a minor on December 30th and released from the Ector County Jail the same day after posting $50,000 in surety bonds. Essay deadline extended for Odessa Chamber of Commerce's National Civics Bee by Odessa American, January 4, 2024. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce's National Civics Bee essay deadline has been extended to Monday, January 22nd. Original date was January 8th. The National Civics Bee is a national event aimed at encouraging more young Americans to engage in civic and contribute to their communities. Organized in partnership with the Civic Trust of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, this competition will inspire middle schoolers to become better informed about American democracy, to engage respectfully and constructively in the community, and to build greater trust in others and institutions. Middle school students from public, private, charter, and homeschools are invited to take part in the first round civics essay competition. After a distinguished panel reviews the 500-word essays, the top 20 students will be selected to move on to the next round of competition, a live quiz event to test their civics knowledge that will be held on April 6, 2024 at the campus of UT Permian Basin. The finalists and top winners will receive various prizes, including $500 cash for the first place student. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce has also partnered with a local donor to provide a cash prize for the top three teachers whose students submit an essay to the National Civics Bee. The teacher with the most students to submit essays will receive $500. The teacher with the second highest number of participating students to submit essays will receive $250, and the teacher who comes in third place with the most students submitting essays will receive $125. For more information on the essay topic, completion rules and prizes, and to submit your essay, visit https://bit.ly/474BXO2. UTPB to stage The Wolves by Odessa American, January 4, 2024. UTPB Theater is performing Sarah Delap's The Wolves, January 12th through the 14th, at the CEED Auditorium, 1310 North FM, 1788 Midland. Performances are at 7 p.m. January 12th and January 13th, and 2 p.m. January 14th. The play chronicles several practices of a girls' soccer team, allowing the audience to eavesdrop on conversations about politics, women's health, relationships, and love. Rather than using a traditional stage format, UTPB's production takes advantage of the sports metaphor, situating the audience around an AstroTurf stage on which the actors complete soccer drills. The production is truly a community collaboration featuring a cast of traditional college students, local high school theater students, and community members. While The Wolves wonderfully highlights the complexity and intimacy of team and feminine dynamics, the play does contain adult themes and language. Parental discretion is advised.
Association calls for sustainable CCS development. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. As carbon capture and sequestration projects begin to spread across the U.S., some want to ensure fair and equitable use of that land. Carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration are moving beyond Texas into states like Wyoming, Colorado, Oklahoma, and New Mexico, where Native American tribes have significant land holdings. Quote, "I think there are opportunities moving forward," Daniel Cardenas, chairman, National Tribal Energy Association, told the reported Telegram by telephone. He said the utilization aspect is interesting and key for capturing carbon dioxide for use in producing chemicals and fuels. Quote, "There is a lot to look at from the impact side, how the projects impact the environment, water, land, air, cultural sites," he said. But his interest goes beyond that to encouraging tribes to become equity partners in the projects, from sequestration sites to the pipelines and transportation, allowing them to share in the profits. Federal tax incentives like 45Q provide the opportunity to create businesses around sequestration, he said. Not only should tribes partner on the projects, but also participate in long-term partnerships around research and development into utilization, Cardenas added. There are tribes he represents that have large fossil fuel holdings, he noted. In Texas, he said they typically serve as royalty owners, receiving monthly or quarterly royalty checks. Quote, we want the tribes to move beyond royalty ownership and participate in production, share in the jobs created, and share in the tax revenues, he said. We want, he concluded, to make the pie bigger for everyone, end quote. Kinder Morgan puts Permian Highway expansion in service. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Kinder Morgan gave Permian Basin natural gas producers an early gift when it placed the expansion of its Permian Highway pipeline into service during the first of the month. The expansion added 500 million cubic feet of capacity to the pipeline. Quote, we are pleased to have placed the PHP expansion project in service, Kinder Morgan's natural gas midstream president, Tom Dender, told a reporter telegram by email. Continuing the quote, this project provides U.S. Gulf Coast markets with greater access to natural gas from the Permian Basin, which is a critical, affordable, reliable, and lower carbon energy source, end quote. East Daily Analytics noticed the expansion was operational when two new meter points began reporting data where the pipeline ties into the Natural Gas Pipeline of America and Tennessee Gas Pipeline in Wharton County. Natural Gas Pipeline has received about 100 million cubic feet a day at the new meter, while the Tennessee Gas Pipeline is receiving an average of 120 million cubic feet per day. In the Permian Basin supply and demand forecast, East Daily forecast Permian residue gas production to quickly fill the Permian Highway expansion. East Daily models Permian production exits 2023 at 17.4 billion cubic feet, a year-over-year increase of 2.3 BCF per day. New natural gas processing and egress pipeline expansions, like the Permian Highway project, have supported higher supply from the basin, contributing to downward pressure on prices. Quote, we do not know if the meters are drawing new Permian Basin production or are a diversion of volumes from other Permian Highway plant receipts, East Daily analyst wrote. As noted recently, Permian interstate samples hit a new record high in November. However, samples on the El Paso system are down about 220 cubic feet a day so far in December, primarily from Kinetik's Alpine High and Raptor systems, which could signal a redirection of flows. Associated Natural Gas has tripled in top three Permian oil plays. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Already prolific in yielding crude oil, the three top Permian Basin tight oil plays are also prolific in yielding associated natural gas. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reported recently associated natural gas production has nearly tripled in the Wolfcamp, Spraberry, and Bone Springs plays since 2018. In the first 7 months of this year, the EIA reported the three plays averaged a combined 13.7 billion cubic feet per day, up from an average 4.7 BCF per day in 2018, according to data from Enverus. The Spraberry, Wolfcamp, and Bone Spring plays produce most of the associated natural gas within the Permian region. Higher crude oil production accounted for 65% of the increase in natural gas production, and 35% of the increase came from a higher gas-oil ratio, or GOR, which rose from 2 MCF per barrel in 2013 to 3.1 MCF per barrel in the first 7 months of 2023. Any increase in the GOR in an oil well means more natural gas per barrel of oil is being produced. The EIA defines oil wells as those with a GOR of less than or equal to 6,000 cubic feet of natural gas per barrel of oil produced. Wells with a GOR of more than 6 MCF per barrel are classified as natural gas wells. The Permian Basin produces more crude oil than any other region in the United States, accounting for more than 40% of total U.S. crude oil production. The Permian is the second largest natural gas producing region in the country, accounting for about a quarter of total U.S. marketed natural gas production. Most of the natural gas produced in the Permian region is associated natural gas. Consequently, in the Permian region, increased crude oil production has also increased associated natural gas production. Average crude oil production in the first 9 months of 2023 increased by 68% in the Permian compared with 2018, while natural gas production in the Permian increased by 104% over the same period, according to the EIA's Drilling Productivity Report. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 4th. Silence from daughters hurt divorced father. Dear Abby, I am the father of four, two boys and two girls, ranging in age from late teens to mid-20s. I was extremely close with all of them until my divorce 7 years ago. Most would say they were closer to me than to their mom. My boys still talk to me, and we have a great relationship, but my two girls stopped talking to me. To this day, I send each of them a check for $150 on their birthdays and on Christmas. The girls sure do cash their checks, but they never send a text or email a thank you. My feelings border on deep hurt and anger. Should I send one last check explaining how they have hurt me and tell them goodbye, or continue sending checks hoping they'll contact me in the future? It isn't easy for me to afford $150 eight times a year. Signed, Deeply Hurt Dad in Arizona. Dear Deeply Hurt, you have been generous with all of your children in spite of the fact it creates financial stress. Your ex may have turned the girls against you by telling them you had left them instead of her at the time of her divorce. That you have not heard from them to say, "Thanks, Dad," is a breach of manners. It isn't necessary to send them a letter telling them their shunning you has hurt you. They already know that. When the next gift-giving occasion rolls around, send your daughters a nice card acknowledging the special day and omit the checks. If you do, you may hear from them then. Dear Abby, my co-worker sent save-the-date cards to everyone a year ago, and my husband and I were looking forward to attending her wedding. Apparently, she had a wedding planner or a friend send the wedding invitation itself via email closer to the wedding day. Everyone in the office received theirs, but I did not. When I found out, I privately told two other co-workers I hadn't received an invitation, and that perhaps the person misspelled my name in the email, thinking they would say something to the bride or someone would follow up on the RSVP. I didn't want to put the bride on the spot by addressing her directly. Well, nothing happened. Now everyone in the office is gushing with the bride about how wonderful her wedding was, and I'm afraid she may think I didn't care to attend and or even bother to RSVP. Was there a polite way to let the bride know I didn't receive an emailed wedding invitation without looking desperate or embarrassing her? Are emailed invitations the new thing with weddings? Signed, On the Outside Looking In. Dear Outside, some couples do send emailed wedding and shower invitations these days. A way to have handled this would have been for you to have been proactive and informed the bride that you had checked her calendar and realized that after having received her save-the-date memo, your formal invitation hadn't shown up. That way, she could have told you she'd send one immediately, or that because of budgetary considerations, she would be unable to host you after all.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.